Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to 93 Sweet FM Zone. And you know it's the Los Angeles. Later. Sweet. You know, this is the only place that you can hear from the Funkadelic to the Temptations on 93 Sweet FM. And I'm your host with the most of Rothschild, Mr. Bruce Rothschild. And you're tuned in again. Oh, I hear you asking where we've been, All around the world, and we're going to do it again. We've got the famous Tweed Cadillac. On 93 Sweet FM is on.
Like a man, but not any way you want to.
That's your best plan. Take a chance and you'll see. You've made a mistake. Can't you tell? You've hurt me. My let's try it all over again.
I didn't want it to end like this. Oh well, I guess it's goodbye.
What you say that won't do. And oh girl, I put a hold on your check.
You say I can't do a thing without you.
Gonna hurt you. 93.3 Tweet FM ism, spectacular lowrider oldies, R&B, and everything in between. Tonight is a beautiful situation, I must say indeed. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Stacy Adams Incorporated. For all of your footwear, hatwear, underwear, socks, and accessories, go to tweetcadillac.com. Hit on the sponsor link, and I'll offer you a 30% discount for tonight's episode. This is for all the players, all the Macs. I got your back, your front and your side. Tonight, I want to bring to the stage the great, great Grandmaster Virgil is live, man. I want to give a big shout out to Mr. Lee McCormick, Picasso, as he's known, famous author, famous painter, muralist. You can find him at capitalboxart.com/Lee McCormick for putting this all together. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring on my special guest, the Grandmaster Virgil. Good evening, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing swell as far as I could tell, man. We're going to have a great show tonight. For those that don't know, I don't know where you've been, if you've been up under a rock, if you haven't been in the streets, if you haven't been outside, If you don't read papers or magazines, I shouldn't have to explain who this man is to you. This man is a living legend, and not too many people could say that. Author, film producer, actor, and a gentleman of leisure. So I want to definitely thank you, sir, for even being on this platform tonight. It's a great honor, of course. What else I want to say that is kind of intriguing? I was going through some of your archives today, and I found some footage of the Hip Hop Music Awards, and I'm looking at it was kind of grainy, and the volume wasn't great, but I'm looking at myself on that stage, and I remember I walked right by you, and I knew the face, but I couldn't put the name together. And now I find myself on that stage with you, Fillmore, Newt, and myself. And I'm sure you didn't know who I was. Fillmore knew who I was. Newt didn't know who I was. And I'm looking at that today, and it was like I was really surrounded by royalty. And you know how they say your net worth is your network. That was my opportunity to really, you know, chop it up. And I didn't want to step on toes. I was kind of apprehensive. I didn't step to you as I should. But look, 10 years later, we sitting down chopping it up. So, man, I want to thank you again. Your accomplishments have been phenomenal without even speaking on it. I noticed all of the, you know, the luxuries of life that you've been privy to, but we're not really trying to talk about all of that. I mean, we can go into some of that, but what tripped me out is that Zimmer. The only person I've ever seen with a Zimmer was Sammy Davis Jr. That's the only other person, celebrity, that I could even think of. And I'm mesmerized by the car. So I'm looking at it. And you had real Dayton wires on it. Those were real Daytons on a Zimmer way back then. So it's like, man, can't nobody really tell you too much, man. You'd had it all. I don't even know how you was able to juggle all of those cars and homes. Bad enough trying to keep up with all the jewelry. How were you able to maintain and know where everything was and just... My real question is, how the hell you buy a Rolls Royce with cash? I thought a car dealership couldn't sell you a car if it was over $10,000. Is that true? How did you buy a Rolls with cash?
Well, you know, people have ways of juggling a whole lot of things. If they're down for it, it's not what you know, it's who you know a lot of times, you know, to make it happen. They have ways to protect you and they sell. So, you know, it's always a way.
Any I thought that was literally impossible. I'm like, how do you drive off the lot with a roll? And a black man at that. It was like, to me, that in itself was phenomenal. But how you always say, man, when you want to elevate your game, you got to be the first, and you got to be the best at it. You seem like you're so no nonsense. Like it's business. I can see you a lot of times. I've seen various interviews, and you look like you're having fun, but you look like you're still watching the room, and you're still about the business. It's like, do you ever just unwind, put your feet up, sit on your balcony, and say, damn, God, thank you for giving me the life that you've given me with the good or the bad?
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time. I've been praying all of my life because I know everything that I accomplished comes from the man up above, you know. And like I said, I've been putting it down for damn near all of my life, you know, starting out as a kid from the struggle, you know. And it entitled me to appreciate the future, you know, when I really start putting it down in a real way, you know. So you had to be serious about the art and the craft of your life. you don't stay on top of your business, you won't have no business, you know. So I take it all seriously.
I can tell. You also said when you plan your work, all you have to do is work your plan. I thought that was kind of profound within itself, because that is a mantra that you should be able to live. That, man, if you could see it, visualize it, take a step every day to try to get to that goal that you're seeking, it really shouldn't be that difficult of a task. But as you say, you got to plan your work and work your plan. I thought that was, and you also said, you also said it ain't about your fame, it's about your name. Because I truly believe that too. Credibility is like virginity. You only lose it once. So if your name is good, you ain't got to have a nickel in your back pocket. If your name is good, you can reach out and touch something. And everybody that I've ever seen on any one of your documentaries or any interview, your name has never really been tarnished. I mean, no bad things that anybody could say, because you were so generous. I mean, I've heard stories, wow, you just would lace players, man, that you know, that you truly respected. And that's how you acquired a lot of the respect, too. Did you really have any other peas that just rubbed you the wrong way? And if so, how did you end up fixing that situation or kind of working that out?
Well, I always have to. I give respect, so I receive respect. And I try to keep things smooth all the time, because everybody don't live by the same character or the same thoughts. You know, so you got to be kind of take control of the situation a lot of time, and don't fall in the depth of some ignorance, you know. So you got to do a lot of things that make sense, show makes sense, and everything else. Just like I look at life like you do going to a movie and look at the picture's movement to have no sound. You got to be qualified enough to tell what the movie is all about with no sound, you know. So you got to go beyond the call of duty and be able to read and be the control in how what you're around. You know, that was part of my forte.
Indeed. You wore it well and you maintained it. I mean, we're not even talking about the run of the P or the run of the empire built after the P. We're talking about just on the strength that you live to be as old as you are, and you're in good health, and you're still in control of your faculties. That right there is a milestone. If you was an average Joe Blow, everybody don't get to be 78 years old, and you don't look a day over 55. You feel me? That right there, considering all that you've been through, you've seen it all, man. You've seen it all. I've been in Fresno. I know how dusty that place really was, you know. And I had an uncle that lived in Hanford, and all of his friends lived in Fresno, and he used to take us through there, and it was like, we were so used to L.A., it was like, what the hell is this? We didn't quite understand. So for you to come from that turf and become the man at the age that you did, but you explained it all when you said if it wasn't for Milton Peters. I kind of think, like, if I would have had someone like you as a mentor when I was trying to do it, I probably would have went a lot further as well. But Milton, like, blazed you, and you learned from the best, and you became the best. Have you had anybody that's not just been under your wing, but people that you've given tutelage to that you've seen climb up the ranks as well?
Yeah, I have given it to a few guys, but, you know, you got to be qualified, I mean, mentally, not just physically, but mentally, to really understand and deal with life and deal with what's real and what's not. You know, some people can talk it and act it, but they can't walk it, and they can't produce it, and they can't comprehend the game that you feed them. You know, I had one friend of mine that loved me to death, and I love him to death. He's like my little brother, you know. He was with me every single day. And things were kind of bad only one time, and he lost his, one of his ladies got killed on the track, you know. And sometimes you get so relaxed with your game, you know, you call fall short of your ism. So he had one more lady left, you know, and you know, when one is close to none, you know, you start relaxing on your game, and you get under the act where you kind of really need the woman, you understand? You may relax in some areas where you stand strong in others. So she turned around and left him, and I don't have nobody. And for initially, I took him to the tailor shop. Actually, I really raised him up. Took him to the jewelry store. Took him to get his hair done. So I had him looking like he was really, really fantastic, you know, because I just took a genuine liking to him. But like I said, as time went on, you know, he fell short of the game, and he lost his car. And I turned around and told another partner of mine that raised up with him to go grab his car. So I just took him to try to get some other things so he could stay on the seat to keep his game going, you know. And I had gave him a whole lot of knowledge on how to do certain things in the game, you know, to keep his flow going. And by him being around me all the time, he felt like he was qualified enough to handle these things. And because he was around me, you know, his reputation gave a lot of points just for being around me, you know. So I left and went to Fresno when I moved to Oakland, because I had two places in Fresno. But I left and moved to Oakland. I was gone for about a year. And I'd come back once a month just to pay the bills on everything I had in Fresno and go right back to Oakland, because Oakland's my home, you know. So I went back, and I had put him in a position for him to get him a bunch of money. And when I come back, everything I told him, I said, man, you follow this roadmap as I explained it to you, you're going to be all right. You sure you can handle it? Yeah, I can handle it. But he wasn't ready. He wasn't seasoned enough. You know, he just looked the part, but he wasn't a part. And so he was so embarrassed, he didn't know how to tell me the mistakes he made. I said, you mess with professionals around here now. All these guys come cross-country are professionals. You got to qualify to be around them, and I'm not around to protect you. And he thought he could handle it, but he fell short. So I come back, and I give him another shot. And another of his young friends liked him or anything, because they was all jealous of him by being around me, because I was like, I had the biggest name in the town, you know, and they didn't like that, you know. So he got so far past them, and they didn't want to accept him. So, man, I took him out to L.A. and turned him on to some more games so he could keep himself together and get his car back. A friend of mine had paid. He got the car he was sitting on, holding for him, you know. And, man, we come back and drop him off at the house. And I was just checking. I was riding around, you know, checking my business and things on my ladies and things. And I rode by. He didn't answer the door. And I say, I'm thinking, well, he's going to get his other lady over and try to get her back in pocket, you know. So that's what I'm thinking. And I go back again. About 2 hours later, he still don't answer the door. And I go ahead and go to sleep that morning. I get a call about 7 o'clock in the morning. And then they tell me they found him in the house dead, you know. So what I'm saying is that sometimes you think you're ready for it, but you're not ready for it. It's got to be in you. It can't be on you, you know. It's got to be inside of you. You got real. You got to be able to comprehend it and deal with life. You got to be able to listen and pay attention, you know, to what's really going on. You can't just talk it. You got to be able to walk it. So, yeah, I had a few of them that I had that come up under me, but they all fell by the wayside because they had it on them. They didn't have it in them. You know, so anything that you enjoy, you become good at it. And I enjoyed it so much, I became great at it, because I didn't accept less for the best, and I never wanted to be a loser, you know. So that was part of my forte. To answer your question, yes, I done raised a few of them up under me, even my own brother.
One thing I could say from true experience, when I got into it, I got into it because I could, thought I could, felt I could, believed I could. And once I was in it, it was so much that I didn't know, and I wasn't prepared. I didn't have the schooling to know, well, if A, B, and C happen, you got to do D, E, and F. I wasn't schooled on that. It was all just thrown in my lap at one time, and it was a lot to absorb. And
yeah,
I never got knocked, but my issue was I couldn't stop them from in-house fighting. They was fighting amongst themselves. I could never control or contain that side of it. You know, they was chasing them away. If I get one and they don't like her, they was running them off. You know, and it's like, wow.
Well,
I needed tutoring when it came to that aspect of the game. I could never get them get along.
Well, you know, my thing, the way, see, me and Milton Petey used to ride every day and kick game every single day, because everybody has to stay in tune with this issue that's going on in the city and on what's going on the street, you know. So everybody's going to have similar problems. Some going to be a little different, but they're all going to surround themselves by the same. And then another piece of right, kick game every day, you know. Steel sharp and steel man, sharper man, you know. And I kept him sharp. He kept me sharp. And so we have a round table meeting with all the fellas in town, you know, so everybody kick around what's going on in the town. So you're able to control and everything that's going on, because you might hear one thing that can tighten your whole game up, you know. And one thing I knew for sure, keep them kind of problems where that you was having, you keep everybody separated. If you got five draws, you should have five places, you know, because it's going to always be some drama with a bunch of women. It always have been, and that's what they're known for.
Yeah, and that's what every
got woman me. Should be able
that's
to,
what got
everything. Every woman should be able to have her own household, you know, because you got so much bullshit and game that goes on when it comes to that, because you don't ever know who's jealous, who got feelings, who's plotting, who this and who that, you know. And the one that tells the most is the one that's doing the most, huh? you got to be able to, you know. And
you also said that they'll jack each other, you know, and or steal and then come back to get points with you, but they done took the money. It's like, wow, you gotta be five steps ahead of what they think they're gonna do before they do it.
Yeah, that's why they call it a 25-hour day job, you know, because you gotta see, a woman don't never stop thinking, and you could never think to the depth that the woman is thinking. Because a man gonna relax sooner or later. That's just our nature. You know, we don't look for drama, but women, that's their comfort zone, drama. So, you know, you don't ever want to know the dimension of thinking might go. You know, it goes so deep you can't even imagine. Matter of fact, you're gonna get some knowledge from him to go so deep.
Wow.
Gonna be the furthest thing for your mind.
Wow. You know, speaking of that, were you under the impression that, damn, if I do get a new one, maybe she might set me up, you know, to get robbed or things of that nature? Because I've heard stories where Pia sent one of his girls to choose you, but she's still on his team, and you think she's coming in, you know, to get down, but she's really a chaos double agent. Did that ever happen to you?
It was a thing where anybody could be trapped on that if you get off your beat. But if you're on your beat, the antenna's going to go up on everything. Cause you're supposed to be in control of all of your... you're supposed to stay in control of it. And most of the time when that happens, you got a lady that shooting don't have no control over, or either you don't go overboard trying to move her. And when you work too hard trying to move her, that shouldn't work. It shouldn't be that hard, you know. So you never know what that might be directed to, you know. There's a lot of players that got played out of pocket like that. And I knew a few of them, you know, good players, but they relax because they feel like their position carried all the weight. But your knowledge has to carry the weight, you know. You got to recognize what's in front of you and know how to deal with it.
Well, that's deep. Considering that by you having so many personalities in your mix every day and they have their itinerary or what have you, but you can't keep your eye on everybody at the same time. I can imagine, man, speaking of overhead, did you take them shopping or did you just give them money to go get geared up? Or how did you maintain the finances? Because you got to clothe them, you got to feed them, you got to house them. So, and they have to look better than everybody else's girls out there on the play. I can imagine what your cleaner's bills would be a week, and you got 13 deep and shit like that. Your overhead had to be ridiculous. How did you maintain the day-to-day maintenance of all of those women?
Well, it really wasn't hard. Just take them shopping, get some home gear, you know, to go out. That don't take 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to get home gear and go stay working, you know, because that's not no big task unless you're going out on some major event or something, you know. All they got to do is look sexy and stay down for the crown, you know. And that's all it took for that. I never had no problem with that. You know,
I was just thinking that over time.
Yeah, no, not really. That's minor there.
I thought it would add up, like you got seven, so if I multiply, got to buy seven outfits maybe once every 2 weeks or, you know, every day. It's like, damn. But if they bring it
well,
in, man, you know, you charge
coming in. That's no problem. It's no problem if they bring it in. You know, that's part of the responsibility. Make sure your team is straight, you know. And because you got other people that's watching how you finish. You got other ladies that's talented, they're paying close attention. If you got a big name out there, you know, they really are paying attention, you know, because you don't want to get them no stick to fight with, you know. And,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, don't give them a stick to fight. on a foul note, you understand, they coming at you any kind of way because they just please anyway because they probably, the one they dealing with probably ain't got nobody, you know. So they got the little jealous bone anyway, you know, little envy thing, you know.
Wow.
So they gonna bring some drama up into your life, you know, and they might listen to it one day, catch it on a bad note, and look like what they got told, and I think Janie was right about what she said to herself, you know, and they gonna tell you nothing. Then that's how you start getting your problems start building up, you know. You got to be able to recognize all that sometimes.
Have you ever been knocked?
Man, I can't remember just really being straight up knocked. I ain't never been served. One time I had a little issue. And it took me a lot of years. I think I was about 11 deep at the time, you know. And I had a girl that was real jealous about one of my other ladies just coming back, but you know, she was the backbone, you know, and was making noise up on that thing down there, you know, that blade, you know, she's really making noise. And they was all jealous of her, and the other girl was a little cutie pie, but she just couldn't put it down. like my main one, you know, and she had came back to her pictures, so she just really couldn't handle it, you know, and she broke wide on me, you know, for about a couple weeks, but I said, well, I don't care if she with somebody, you know, because I'm deep at the time, I ain't going to miss it, because she really not raising no hell no way out there, you know, you damn near had to say something real slick to make a sign of threat to make her even come close to what he was, you know. So I didn't care if she loved him or not, but anyway, she was gone for a minute. And after so long, I never did hear nothing. Didn't see her. But she had got with this other guy. I said, well, she with him, I don't care. But after so long, he never did bring the news, you know. So now you're disrespecting the gang, you know. And you just brought me the news. It wouldn't be no problem. But I know she was, you didn't even know how to even get your dough out of her. Because you have to been around and had her for a minute to even know. You wouldn't even qualify to do that. So he couldn't come serve me because he ain't got no dough. So he hiding her out.
Wow.
So he called me about 3 weeks later, and I told him, I said, you know, baby girl can't hit no blade until I talk to her. So he was scared to send her. I said, what I do now, I'm going to just keep the bluff down. And he had a Chinese girl, and he had a Mexican girl, and she was a beautiful black girl. So he had a hell of a team there if he'd have done it right. So I'm going to make him have problems at home. Because he ain't going to be able to send her up because he's scared to send her. Because my reputation's so big out there, you know, and he respected to the highest degree. Because my brother's a little younger than me, you know, because all of them come up under me, you know. So he finally called me about a week later because he's getting problems at home, you know. And he ended up blowing his whole game, man. And he finally called and said, well, I'm going to bring her to you. And he brought her to the house, you know, just to teach him a lesson. He brought her to the house, and so I said, come on in. He wanted to come in, too, and I said, no, not you, her. I made him go next door or something, you know. And I checked her real hard up in there. Didn't know how to pocket, how lying she was, you know. I sent her on back with him. And,
I thought you was going to keep her. I thought you was about to keep her. Well, you sent her right back with
her. No, it was a little more to it than that. I'm just not going to speak on it, you know. A little bit more to it than that. But I went on to sit her with it. And she didn't last no time, but I haven't seen her never no more.
Wow.
And then it retired him. There were two partners I retired because I used to knock them. You know, when they get out of line, I knock them all, you know. And all them dudes would come up under me, you know. I kept them in line because they get a little chesty when they get to feeling themselves, you know, and they forget where they got the game from, you know.
That's where I always thought that the problem would always lie. It's like, okay, you know I knocked your girl, and now you see me, I'm shining. You really getting super upset. Your girl ain't, you know, ain't even looking at you when she see you out there, and it's like they be having so much larceny in their heart. Till I know that the B is supposed to be gentlemen of leisure, but sometimes that G shit is gonna come into play. But you don't seem like the type of dude that got your hands dirty or nothing like that. So I guess back in your era where you could really just sit down and chop it up with a player, y'all could come to a mutual understanding of, like, this is what it's going to be, this is what it is, and we both going to go on about our business. But it looked like nowadays, that's kind of like almost impossible because, you know, the rules have switched up so much till I don't think there's no, well, there's never was honor among these, but ain't nobody stealing, you know, this is cop and blow. I just felt that the bigger that a person would get, seem like it's going to breed the more and the more of the hatred and jealousy. And especially somebody on your level, I mean, it looked like for everyone that admired you, I knew it had to be 10 that despised you because they couldn't be you. But all you did was just keep your head up. Keep on mashing on. Keep on keeping on. That's admirable, man. That's honorable. And it's an admirable trait. You let nobody just stand in your way of what your mission was. My question to you is, why? Well, you kind of explained it in the documentary a little bit. I just didn't quite understand it. What would make you go and even be around any type of drugs when you didn't have to? it was like, I know the money was bigger and, you know, it can supplement the other income, but for all that was on the line, I just couldn't quite understand why you, because I don't think you ever would have went to the pen if it wasn't for that.
No, no, you're right. You know, one thing that when a person is really, you really like a lot of people and you kind of let your guards down for certain people, you know a lot of things that other people don't have the privilege to know. My name was so big that everything would come my way, and it was so much in a comfort zone that it was incredible. And sometimes you could do things that you don't do or wouldn't do. And me, myself, I kind of stayed out of the way of things, but I knew so much. And, you know, big game is played smooth out of sight. Sometimes it's the law of average that will tell you now. It's not going to have to be nothing that you've done. You know, just the law of average. And when you got a name big as mine, people is going to be talking. And if they don't know nothing, they're going to make up something. And that's what happened in my case, you know. It don't be what something, how I done it. It be what somebody else have done. So I got crossed up in the shuffle. And that happens with a whole lot of people. You just don't never hear how it really went. Because me, myself, personally, I didn't do anything. Maybe I might had knowledge of how to do this and how to do it, and I could do it for somebody to keep on their feet or whatever. But you get crossed up in it because you have it so much that your name is going to automatically ring, you know. And people are not going to know nothing about your business, but they're going to make something up about your business because everybody don't qualify for the same thing. You could say that I'm doing this and doing that. You might be doing it a lot better and a lot greater. I have a better path. They could even imagine it. They know it's not working for them. So how is it going to work for you? So they don't believe that you can make it work or something that they can't make work. But everything don't work for everybody the same way. And everybody that says that that they don't do this and do that, they might not. But if you get caught up into something, you're going to automatically get accused for it. You know,
and
everybody
exactly
don't yeah, wow. Yeah, everybody don't have no 100% score. But they good might way out the bad. Some people bad might outweigh they good. You know, just like I know my good outweigh my bad, you know. But it's different levels when it comes to this game. And everybody is not really hip to it, but I was here from the initial, and I understand how it goes. And everybody don't have the privilege of having that knowledge, so it's always questionable, you know.
It kind of seemed like it's kind of a bounty on your head when you're at the top. Everybody want to pull you or bring you down or find something on you. And
yeah.
Just the fact that, oh, and not only did they bring you down, they actually won because they was able to take all your assets, all your cars, all your money. They just strip you down to your lowest compound, and it was nothing that you could really do about it. I mean, the material things, everybody know, cars come and go, jewelry come and go. You know, I lost the chain playing basketball, so I understand. That don't be the problem, but the problem be that they just came in and just virtually raped you of all your assets, cash, jewelry, homes. They seized all your houses as well.
Yeah, they took everything. You know, my name was so big down there through the system that they stopped the football game, you know, several times. And I believe they may have stopped the Super Bowl, but I didn't remember. I know they stopped Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, everything on the breaking news because they wasn't aware of a person that was doing it like that at the time, you know, up in the city because it's a real conservative town, you know. And it really was shocking and surprising to them. But, you know, knowledge is power, man, you know. And when you experience a lot and come from initially from the real game that a lot of people really don't, not even aware of, because they've been following the oath of people that's half bringing it to them on theory, not fact, because I deal with some of the biggest players it was. That's right up under their nose. And they, I know for death is fact, when they say and do certain things, I know where the game come from, you know.
How could they legally do it when all this stuff was in your name? You had businesses, so it wasn't like that they could say all of that came from drug money or something. I mean, you owned all of that stuff. I just can't see how they could just come and seize everything. You know, did they ever try to give you a fine on top of that too? So then if you do get out, now you're going to owe us X amount of dollars, or like how they be doing people?
Well, you know, I had to learn thing as a go. You know, they come to try to do a movie deal on me and the and a book story, you know, at that time, you know. But actuality, they lied. They lied on me. Police lied and crossed me. You know, when the police lie and cross you, the courts go along with whatever the police say. You know that, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Ain't nothing you can really say. Yeah,
they all
they
have
do all
lunch.
That.
Yep.
And when you with the big boys, regular lawyers, it scares them to death, because it's no way that you can basically wiggle yourself out of this 9.9% conviction rate. So you really up against it. Now, I have had a couple of partners that shook them loose a couple of times. How they did it was just the grace of God. But it's just like hitting lottery, you know. But
so Johnny Cochran couldn't have gotten you out of it. If you had Johnny, you think he could have got you out all of that?
Johnny Cochran, I don't know if he's a state lawyer or federal law. Which one was it?
I had him before.
He shook me on another case
state.
That I had back in the day. Yeah. But if he's state, state attorney, it's hard for them to mess with federal law. It scares them to death. So,
I guess so many loopholes and twists and turns that they're gonna slap on you. I can tell.
They could give you a phase where they can one sentence can show you where you get out of it, and you turn the next page with the same thing and show you where you can't not get out of it. So the hold is locked on each end.
So he was forced to plead guilty. Did you have to plead guilty?
Well, let me put it this way. If you never had a case before in your first case, say they take 5 years with the state, right? You might have taken a deal for 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever. But when they really on your helmet, they'll shoot it to the feds, because the same case can give you 5 years to 45 years. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So if you roll the dice on, say, well, I ain't, they done lied on me, this whatever, and they done try to cross me up, say, I'm going to go to trial on it. The same thing that you could have took your 5 years for, say you lose in the jury trial, you can get up to 45 years. All depends how they're in. They can cross you and they tell you to appeal your way out. And they no guarantee you're going to appeal your way, so you stuck for 45 years. When you can give them that little time on a bad note, go and get your little time and come back and live like a king, like as I'm doing today.
And there you have it. Speaking of living like kings, I want to give another shout-out to Stacy Adams Incorporated, MagnificentWax.com. They're available in your local Walmarts as well. The GLewsShow.com. He's a proud host of West Side Wednesdays, Freestyle Fridays, and OG Sundays. And also, once again, to Mr. Lee McCormick, LaCasso. You can find him at Capital PressBoxArt.com/Lee McCormick. Those are our sponsors. Mr. Lou Lavisher, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Oh, man, I'd like to introduce you to the Grandmaster. Virgil Farley is in the building live on the premises.
Good evening. Good evening, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, no great, doubt. Man. I'm just sitting back in class today, man. You know what I mean? Usually I'm here and I may sit in the back. You know how you do in class, but tonight, I mean, today I sat in the front. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm just kicking back, soaking it up, man. Great story.
That's right.
Well, let me go and fix me a drink. Also, tonight's show is dedicated to the fabulous Dramatics and the world-famous Whispers. Mr. Farley, I've interviewed both of them, LJ and the Twins. And when you spoke that those were one of your favorite groups, both of them, man, mine too. And it's a full circle of life when you can interview your idols that you grew up on, understanding their sound, their music, man. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We'll be right back with the great, great, great Grandmaster Virgil. You're listening to 93.Tweet FM ism.
In every way, you're part of me, all I am, all I'll ever be. If I'm weak, when I should be strong, you're my strength to carry on. What's so wrong with wishing that's the way it could be? I wish you were real instead of
into my
of your love. Please let it be. So welcome, baby, into my dream.
Hi, I'm Dale. Along with Scotty and Bo, we are the Temprees. And you're listening to 93.3 FM. And also listen to the spectacular Low Rider Oldies on the After Six Cruise Mix. And ladies, this is dedicated to the one you love. Yeah.
While I'm away from you.
Hi. This is Ronnie Laws, and you're listening to Life in Paradise on 93.3 FM. Elegant jazz, R&B, and all in between.
You are listening to 93.3 FM. Spectacular, the variety of oldies, R&B, and all in between. You are coasting on the After Six Cruise Mix. This is David Pick Conley from the Platinum Group Surface. So tune on in with us and get turned on.
And you know this, man. This is what we do each and every Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Make sure to tell a hater to tell a player. Also, if you're listening online, hit the follow button. It's absolutely free. Only thing I ask you to do is set up a free account. Leave your email so you'll be able to get alerts of celebrity upcoming future guests. With that being said, if you want more information, go to my official website, tweetcadillac.com, baby. Also, if you want to get in contact with the Grandmaster, you might want to go to thegrandmasterinc.com. Thegrandmasterinc.com is Virgil's official website as well. With that being said, what I want to say to you, Virgil, is you're a man among men, and not all men can honestly say that they've given, they've earned, they've lost, they've triumphed. And you are by far an example of what's the proper adjective I'm looking for. Not just versatility, but just diligence. And you had your mind on the prize, so therefore you didn't get no booby traps. So, man, I want to give you your props for everything that you've done. And I'm super proud of you for the simple fact that you transitioned yourself, put yourself in a position to be able to own businesses, man. I heard that you have a hotel in Fresno.
Yeah, I had one. I got rid of that. I want to add one thing to the conversation that we was having prior. You know, whenever I went to court, you know, they had every DA and every lawyer in Sacramento to come to see who I was. That's how much noise the name was making. All along with the movie producers and the book writers to do a movie and a book on me, but I declined on everything. And getting back to the whispers, you know, I went to school with the twins. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that, man. They are good people, man.
Yeah, I went to school with them. Also, the Dramatics, they good friends of mine, too. I remember back in 1976 when I left Oakland and went back to one of the days to pay the bills. I went out there to the hotel where they were at, the barcades, and the Dramatics was there, 1976 in Fresno. And we had a ball out there that night, you know. So I just want to address that to let you there.
But they are so cool, man.
Dramatics
so
and
cool.
The Whispers were some of my favorite groups. Yeah.
Mine too, man. LJ's. Been here twice. Been here twice.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, LJ.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely,
matter
man.
Fact,
lovely,
LJ,
great dude.
LJ got my books, my DVDs, everything, you know.
Speaking of DVDs, y'all might want to go cop that. It's for sale. You can rent it. Or you can buy it. Or you can watch it free on Tubi. The name of it is called My Life Over the Top. I've watched it like I'm going on my third time now. So it's very informative. You'll get a great inside look on the great, great Grandmaster. So I suggest you go check that out. Also, another favorite on Tubi from Virgil is A Familiar Lie. Tell us a little bit about that, sir.
Oh, A Familiar Lie is a story about this guy was trying to please his wife, you know, as most men do, girlfriend or whatever, you know. And, you know, women go into a deep dimension, as I said earlier, about their thinking. And they think a lot deeper than that. Men think along the surface, but the women go deep down in the hole to dig up something, you know, and looking for one thing and then coming up with another all the time. So to make a long story short, she thought her husband was cheating on her. And all he was trying to do is make something better for him and her. So he went out to try to do something a little different. And a friend told him, this is what we can do. I know this guy over here that we can get some drugs from, and then maybe we can do this here and get it right for you, you know? And so he took a chance to do this here. And his friend, the one that talked him into going to get it, he couldn't get it himself. He talked him into going to get it, and they trusted him real well. So they only had so much time, and he already been warned, you got this bullet if you don't come back right. So he had a sale for it. He, in turn, turned around, his friend called him at the same time, and he said that, well, man, I got something, I got somebody waiting on this here right now. So he talked him into giving it to him, but the friend never did come back and left him out there. So he went to explain to the guy about how he let this other guy talk him into giving him some stuff, and you tell responsible for this here. And I already told you what was going to happen. And he got himself killed. So it went on from that. And I'm a producer on the movie. I got a cameo in it, and they really like it, you know. Most women really like the movie. So you need to really check it out. It's called A Familiar Lie.
And that's on Tubi, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to watch that. Also on Bounce TV, you have another one hosted by Mr. Omar Gooding. It's called Family Time. Explain that one to us as well, sir.
Yeah, it's just a sitcom where it came on all the TV stations there. It's come on Bounce TV. It was called Family Time. This is a Thanksgiving series that I was on, you know, when Omar was trying to get me to come over and have dinner with him. So it's just another one there.
So what's in the future, man? More property, more films,
more
businesses. What you got on the horizon?
I'm always applying for something. You know, I never accept less for the best. So the sky's the limit with me. So I got a movie on my life story that they're working on right now. They're working with some writers out of New York that work for 50 Cent, you know. So he's they're working on that as we speak, you know. The writers have just left. They came down from New York and Texas about a couple of weeks ago, and I met them in South Toledo, and we added a little bit more on to whatever it was there. So I'm just letting them go and take their time to get it all together to get it right. It's trying to take it to the theater, so hopefully that'll be coming real soon, you know.
So what's the next car coming off the lot?
Well, you know, I got enough cars already. You know, the Rolls Royce, the Bentleys, Mercedes, and I got a fleet already. You know, the thing is, paid for. So, you know, I don't really need no cars right now, but you never know me. You know, I might change my mind in 2 weeks, you know. But right now, that's not my first priority. My first priority is getting this project off the ground. And I got another 9-part series that's coming out on Sheen TV. It should be out any time. It should have been out. But they got to advertise it up there now, but they don't. I got to call and find out tomorrow when exactly it's going to hit.
Okay.
So I'm just steady trying to build up my archive and just try to keep things flowing, you know. I'm retired now, and I'm just on a positive note, you know. I don't have to stick my neck out on nothing no more, you know. And I'm just taking life as it goes, you know. Just step by looking at it and let it be what it's going to do.
As you should, because you already paid the cost to be the boss. You deserve to be able to sit in a hammock right about
so much,
now, you know.
Yeah, so much time that you got to doing things as a youngster coming up till you get a certain age. But you get a certain age, you're supposed to be able to kick back, you know. But, you know, the clock was ticking with me because it happened to me at an older age, you know. I could have retired back in 1990, you know. But they wiped me out. So, you know, by me being down to 50 years old then, you know, I had the time clicking. You know, I only had so much time to get it right. So I barely made it over the line, you know. So it's all good. It's all good. and it's more mellow now than it even was back then, you know. So
yeah, you ain't got the popo all in your rear view mirror. If anything, they get behind the rolls, and once they run the tag, they like, shit, man, that dude's legit. They just want to admire the car then. All they want to do is just admire the car then. That's a beautiful situation.
When I used to drive the Zimmer down the highway, they used to pull me over with the light on, and they would say, you haven't done nothing wrong. I don't need to see no ID or nothing. He'd say, but this is the prettiest car I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen nothing like this.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I told you, the only person I ever knew had one was Sammy Davis Jr. That's the only time I've ever seen one. It's like, damn, I can imagine how much that cost back in the day. What was the price of it? How much was that?
Some 70, 80,000, you know, back then, you know.
And that was in the 70s. It was $80,000.
Well, that was, I'm talking about 80. I bought that one in 88.
Oh,
1988, yeah, but you couldn't tell what they were, you know. And I when I drove that car, man, a white man told me, "Say you got a car that's gonna be forever." And this is an '88, man. We're talking about 2023, and you know what? If they had not took that car, it'll be just as precious as it was when I first got it tonight, just like that guy said.
Yeah, exactly. Museum, man. Yeah. And it could have been in a museum because I've never seen one just riding down the street. And I haven't really because, like, I'm kind of into cars and car shows and Barry Jackson auto auctions. And I've seen a Stutz Bearcat go down the line, but I really ain't seen no Zimmer. They are as rare as you're going to ever get.
Right, and that's been that long ago. That's been that long ago, and you still haven't. You don't see them all the time.
Exactly.
And mine was brand new, you know. So when they took it, it didn't have 12,000 miles on it.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So it was still like new, you know.
Uh-oh. Ain't that a trip? I tell you, man. You live, you learn, you grow, and you move on. You know everybody in the game. Everybody in the game know you.
Right.
When you guys have those players' balls, you know, I've been invited to a few, but time and things of that nature couldn't make it to, like, a lot of the recent ones. I was never on y'all level, not even close. But by you knowing all of the real, real figures in the game, when you guys talk, is it all about business or is it all about fun? What do you guys even talk about amongst each other?
You mean now?
The regular squares ain't privy to. back then.
Oh, back then we're talking about the game. The game was the game back then. We didn't elevate and we didn't group past all that, you know, so it's about sophisticated business and climbing that mountain to get to the top. You know, we got to keep our health together to maintain everything else. Our health, mind, and our soul. So we trying to, things that we done was in the past, it's no more of that. We're not even on that page. We're trying to go do something constructive and stuff's going to make a whole bunch of sense with some class with it. We're going at the real money. We ain't playing with it no more, you know?
Yeah, you also said, you know, ain't no need to talk about, you know, used to be, you know, because used to be is like never was. I could say, yeah, man, I had a perm down to my shoulders. But if I'm bald now, that shit don't mean nothing.
No, it don't mean nothing, man, you know.
It don't mean nothing. You absolutely
Yeah, you
right.
can't get you can't get stuck in the shadow of the past, man, because that's where you're going to be, past stuff.
Yeah, indeed. So, knowing all of that, whatever happened to Milton Peters? Is he still alive?
Milton Peters died, man, in 1994. And, man, that man was, you know, it's a hell of a thing, man, because the man was so relevant back then, man. That man was the coldest man I had ever seen. And, you know, he is the one that caused me to be who I became, just watching his whole style and everything, you know, because he had it like that. That man used to flip brand new cars every year. His dress code was immaculate, and his jewelry game before was a lot sharper than everybody else. Couldn't nobody touch him coming up. And, you know, when we started riding together in 1972 after he got out of prison, he come to my house, and we were together every single day from that day on, you know. And he respect and reminded me from, and I was a lot younger than he was. You know, I'm about 18, maybe 19 years younger than him. But, you know, he admired my get down, you know. And he was a, he didn't mess with a lot of people. But he took to me like it was meant to be, you know. Even his woman, he had an old woman that was a lot older than him that was so down to earth. She was well respected. And she told him one day that I was really the one to be his friend because he didn't take to people like that, you know. And we was really, really tight. We rode together every day, kick game every day, stay sharp, stay polished. We knew stuff that nobody else knew, you know. And the man loved me, you know. And matter of fact, all the older guys that was really about it loved me. You know, my father-in-law was the, one of the biggest ones down in San Francisco, too, you know. So I had a lot of weight behind me, you know. But they all admired me because when I got to hitting them home runs and making that noise, they all catered to me because, you know, I was just like before my time, you know. And I just raised up around the right type of people, you know, and I took it and ran with it. Being serious about my game, you know, I took it into my life.
What was your, if you can remember, because I'm sure you've had various and several, what do you think your biggest P-Day was at the end of the night or the following morning? What was the most cash you think you ran through or ran up in one night? What got dropped in your lap? I'm curious to know that.
I could easily say that, but I don't like saying that, you know.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
well, don't.
It'll blow your mind. Put it this
you
way,
ain't got to answer.
Mind.
I was just curious to know what could a top P get in one night. It's like, man, if I was to guess, I would say, let me see, just and try to be as realistic as I think I can. Knowing the climate, probably depending on the city. If it was a Super Bowl night or some along them lines, I would say maybe one night, let's just say five girls, I'd say maybe 18,000 in one night. Am I close?
No. Nowhere
wow.
close.
Wow. Nowhere close. Is it higher or lower?
Way higher.
Is it double? Is it double or below?
Way high. I had to tell you in person. Because I don't remember kidding numbers like that.
God damn, that's crazy. In one night.
Yeah.
In one yeah. night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unimaginable.
Hey, let me say this to you. I wasn't just walking it. I mean, I wasn't just talking it. I was walking it for real. Because I was serious about everything I've done.
Wow.
So I wasn't
out there just
showing hindsight. Yeah,
you had pillowcase money in one night, pillowcase money.
Oh, man, you wouldn't even imagine.
Well, I know the trunk of the Zimmer ain't really that big. How the hell did you get it back? I mean, what'd you have to do to, just slap it in the bank or something? Well, were you able to keep money in the bank back then, or did you have to have it on you? Because I'd be afraid to put it in the bank. I don't know if I'd want to do that.
No, I don't want to give up too much game, you know. But it was safe. It was safe.
But yeah. I can dig it. I was just curious to know, man, like, what would a major night be like in the life of a bus?
Man, you couldn't even imagine. I'd have had some pretty velvet days.
What's the best party you ever went to? Describe the atmosphere or the best party you ever went to.
I done went to a lot of good parties. I get parties every year, too. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And I done had a lot of good parties. I would say one is no better than the other. The company is what makes the party, to me, be velvet. The people. I have friends flying from all over, you know, and we kick it real tough. We have a bunch of fun, you know, and that's where it be at with me, you know. We all get together, just kicking and have fun, you know. And that's really what it's about nowadays. I mean, I'm not trying to break no records or nothing. I'm just trying to enjoy life and just have fun, you know.
What's the best advice that you could give a young man, whether or not he wanted to get into the game, or whether or not he needed just some guidance in reference to how he should conduct himself as a gentleman? What would be your greatest advice to give to him?
Man, everybody don't qualify for the game. You got so many people that's mixed in it. Everybody's wearing this and wearing that, looking the part, but you can look at the part and tell what people really don't qualify for the game. And I can also look at somebody and tell when they do, but they might not have a mindset for it. The best advice that I would give for the game is to go to school, get educated, and take another lane. I mean, I know the game is like a fashion show, and everybody would like to be this and be that, but it's a no-win situation when it comes to certain things. You don't even want to throw rocks in a penitentiary like that. Because all it takes is one slip. You don't even want to go through what I went through. I would just have to be fortunate and blessed enough to get back. I was cool from the 60s all the way to 1992 when they knocked my boots off. I'm almost 50 years old and had a velvet record on having things. If I wasn't really blessed, I never could have got back. Because people that have been in the game and don't nothing happen to them, they can't get back. So they laid me down and everything, and I had to come back and get where I'm at. So I would advise that. I would guide people in the right direction. Don't let your friends send you on no mission thinking this is that. I mean, some people slip through the cracks. Don't get it wrong, but you got to know what to do when you get in certain positions. If I had to do it again, I would know exactly what to do because I wasn't good at what I'd done. I was great at what I'd done. I had so many opportunities to become everything I want to be. But, you know, knowledge is power. You know, if you don't have certain knowledge, you can't win with it. But there's so many ways that you can go with it now. It's a million ways to get to the top now when it wasn't but a few back then, you know.
Yeah,
I advise them to go to school, get educated, get your credit together, and just live a normal life.
Exactly. Because you was in the game when it wasn't even, you was in the game, and man, it wasn't even cell phones.
Right.
You had to communicate, you know, firsthand or a pay phone or something like that.
Well, I got a cell phone in 1970. I had a cell phone in my car. I had a cell phone way back then, you know, when I had a phone number called JR60807. I still remember the number where you had to call the operator, and the operator would dial a number for you, but it's in a phone. That was kind of exceptional because people didn't have phones in their houses.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
that's true.
And I've just been blessed, man, all through the game. That's why yesterday's question about prayer. I've been praying every night and giving my thanks to the man upstairs because, hey, man, just there from the shoulder and making it happen for 60 years straight, man, you can't hardly name another person that carried it like that and stayed on top for 60 years. That's hard. You know,
it's
and
literally
I'm not
impossible.
That smart.
It's literally impossible because I'm sitting here right now. I'm sitting here right now just thinking of all the Boss P's that I've heard of over the years, and the Ward brothers didn't even make it that far.
No, nobody.
Fillmore is like neck and neck right about now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really can't name anybody else.
That's
really,
too hard,
you know,
man.
Yeah.
When you fall, it's hard to get back. When you fall, man, it's hard to get back. Man, I didn't have no worries for the rest of my life, and they stomped me dry, and I had to come back from that, you know. And I had to do it at a record breaking time because I didn't have time, you know. So every move I made had to count. But
yeah,
I'm all
that's,
right.
That's what really makes your story tremendous because, as you said, time is steady ticking. I kind of feel that way about my life as well because you can have regrets and maybe I should have veered left, but I chose to go right. But every day got to count. As long as you're bouncing that ball down the court, and if you can get close enough to be able to score, you definitely got a chance. Man, let
you
me
know
go
what
to
I'm
the phone lines. Yes, sir.
Okay.
What you telling? What you telling?
You know what I tell them? I say it's a lot of ways to get to the top. As long as you're just standing with the one at the top, that's what counts.
Okay. I can dig it. Let me go to the phone lines. Glad we got a couple callers. Caller, you're live, 93.3 FM with the great Grandmaster Virgil, Tweet Cadillac, G. Lou. Speak on it.
Grandmaster Virgil, man, that brother right there sound real smooth, like he just started today. He ain't missed a step or a beat. I can hear him. He didn't want to tell you too much about the game. You know, the game is to be sold, not to be told. And I'm listening to him. You know, he sound like the old real pimp that was talking to the Mac in the movie. He came to the hospital when his mama got beat up, and he told him, he said, you got to get the finest bitches you can find.
Yeah.
That's what this brother sound like, man. Hey, man, just listening to you, man, it's an inspiration. I ain't never had nothing out there on the boulevard, but I seen it go down, and I've been with a few, you know, and I seen them watch it go down, man. But you, like you said, man, you didn't really have time. Every move you made had to count, man. And
there
I appreciate that. That's something I'm going to use for my life because I ain't into that. You know, I work a regular job, live a normal life. But I tell you what, man, every second counts for me, Rev Ali, man. And I got nothing but love and respect for you, OG. And I'm glad you're still around doing your thing. If you ever come down to San Diego, man, you know, Reverend Ali down here this way, man. And I love to shake your hand, brother, and step off and just see you in your nice. I know you sound like a good dressing brother too.
If only you knew. If only you knew, Ali.
You might know my nephew down there, my cousin down there named Dwayne.
Dwayne, I might know him. My uncle, was in the game. They called him AJ, and he was down here in San Diego for years doing it big back in the late 70s and 80s, but he done became Muslim. Now he living in Dubai, so he done gave up. But, yeah, he was out there. AJ, man, was putting it down, man. He was the first dude I seen with a Mercedes with Gucci seats back in 83, you know, and he was doing it big, man. I never seen nothing like that in my life.
When it was working on Broadway down there then.
Oh, yeah, man. They was putting them down there on Broadway downtown San Diego,
yeah.
Man. And they got a couple of little blades, they call them down here now. But, you know, man,
yeah.
it ain't nothing like when y'all was doing it, man. These brothers, man, they doing too much trying to be something that they ain't, you know what I mean? And they ain't got the game. They think they got the girl, but they ain't got the game.
Yeah. You remember that club
called
Can Cans down there?
The club what? What club you say?
That little bar, Can Cans on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That street, Broadway, looked like it's been some big hustling and real peas down there, man. Even when you go down there, you can feel the ancientness of it.
Yeah. It treated me kind of cool down there, you know?
Yeah, man. I bet they would, man. You was one of them good brothers, man. I appreciate Tweed having you on the show. You's a real legend for us. We love you, and we got nothing but respect and love for you, man. I appreciate all the wisdom that you just gave us in so many words, you know. Live a normal life. Appreciate
you,
man.
Right on.
Exactly. Hotel Circle South. I remember them days. Wow.
Yeah, Hotel Circle.
San Diego.
San Diego
was kind of good to me in so many different ways. Man.
Yeah.
Looks like we got another caller. Caller, let me see. Caller, you're live on 93.3 Tweet FM with the great Grandmaster Virgil. Speak on it.
Hello. Hi, this is Carmen Jordan. How are you guys tonight?
We are fine.
We're doing great.
How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Well, great show. I learned a lot. With your profession. And I have one question, though. By me being an inspirational speaker and uplifting women and young girls and things like that, what would you have to say about women taking on that profession? And
no, who you asking?
Why they would want to do that? I'm just curious.
Who you asking?
What would make them choose such a profession?
Who are you asking, caller? Because I can answer it.
Okay.
If Virgil wants
you
to pass on
that
it
for me.
Okay. Well, my take on it is because they want to do it. It's not by force. It's by choice. So
No.
They want it. That's basically the bottom line. Some could say they have daddy issues or their self-esteem is low. Those could be possible factors. But in the gist of it, and when it's all said and done, they're free to leave it at any given time. Some people want a family. Some people want guidance. Some people want structure. Some people want a real man with them. You know, man, you'd have to be in the game to understand the game. A lot of times it's family. It's a family. You know, you don't get 5, 6, 7, 8 girls and you're not a family, a unit. You move as one. So it's various factors. That's just my take on it.
Okay. Well, that's a good take. I was just curious. Well, that's a good take.
You want me to add to that?
Sure.
Okay. A lot of people got this different version and go to church. And they go to church and go right back and do the same thing they did an hour after they got out of church. But they have to hear the word because they're not strong enough to do it for themselves. It's just like people be on drugs. A lot of people can stop using drugs on their own. Other people cannot stop using it. They have to go and sit and listen and get brainwashed in order to condition their mind. And it's the same way to do when it comes to motivational speaking for women. They need that because they're not going to have the strength for themselves. So they need somebody they can lean on the shoulders or have a stick to lean on, you know, and give them that little extra push because they're too weak. They need that. Mm-hmm. So that motivational figure just boosts them up. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all you're doing is helping just like
a
doctor.
Well, I was definitely enlightened. So thank you.
We're definitely going to bring you on in the future so you can help uplift and motivate them and tell them what they need to know, you know, to the young women out here. Give them a little bit of power. But you kind of need to deflate their heads in this modern-day age that we're living in, too, because their expectations are a little bit of out of control, from my personal opinion. So they really do need mentors and people that can guide them in a positive direction because they want a little much, so to speak, and they're not really, and they're not reciprocating. So it's like if we as a unit could get further in life with each other, our women have to be in line. So do our men. We all have to, men have to be men and the women have to be women. It ain't about who can out finesse each other and who gonna get your hair done. It's more to life than all of that. So yes, I would love to have you on and we can chop it up and you can give your input on what your solution could be on how you can help young girls in the future.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and I enjoyed the show. And
I hope that answered your question, though, for you, too.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
God bless you for calling. And make sure to tune in each and every Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Tell a hater to tell a player. 93.2 FM. Thank you, caller.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Good night. Mr. Farley. It's been swell, man. It's been swell thus far. Let me play, man, a few more songs, and we're going to wrap it up here because I know you're kind of under the weather. I don't want to keep you up, man. If you want to tap out, just let me know.
Okay, whenever you're ready, I'll tap out.
All right, let me play one of my favorite dramatic joints since we up in here. And then we'll come back, man, with the last word. 93.2 Tweet FM, the great Grandmaster Virgil, Tweet Cadillac, Lou Lavis, G. Lou.
One word. This is your rock and roll gangster, A-Line, and you're listening to 93.3 FM, Spectacular Lowrider Oldies. It's a magic night on After Six Cruise Mix, introducing the man of the hour, Tweed Cadillac, baby.
Hello, everybody. This is Alpha Anderson, former lead vocalist of the group Chic, and you are listening to 93.3 FM.
Hey, this is Chucky Booker, and you are listening to 93.3 FM, the After Six Cruise Mix, the only station that won't play no games on you.
Hi, I'm Bunny DeBarge, and you're tuned into 93.3 FM on the After Six Cruise Mix, the rhythm of the night.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Jasper from the world-famous Isley Brothers and Isley Jasper and Isley, and you're riding on the Caravan of Love, and you're listening to 93.3 FM, Lowrider Oldies, R&B, and everything in between.
Operation on 93.3 FM, Spectacular Lowrider Oldies, R&B, and everything all in between. Tonight has been a very special night. We've been privy to have a legend, a living legend, amongst us, Mr. Virgil Farley. Any parting words you'd like to put out there? Anything you want to say to the world right now? Also, man, we want to thank everyone that tuned in tonight. Understand it was the playoff game, which happened to fall on today's episode. So if you're watching the game and you missed tonight's episode, go to my Facebook page. It'll be posted up there, Tweed Cadillac on Facebook. You'll be able to hear the show. And also, if you want to get in contact or you have some words of inspiration and you want to look out for Virgil, go to Big_Virgil_Grandmaster. You can find him on Instagram, or go to the Grandmaster Incorporated, INC, the Grandmaster INC.com. So, Big Virgil, man, give us some cool parting words, man.
Well, you know, there are only many sheep, but only a few shepherds. So don't get distracted, you know. The day you lay off, it may be time to pay off. So stick to the script and don't get misguided, because everybody that you listen to don't have good advice for you, because blind lead the blind, and a negative ride with the negative. A lie will cross country quicker than the truth get out the block, so you got to remember that. The dog that carry a bone and bring one.
Wow.
So watch your company.
I like that one. I like that one. I always say that the day you stop trying is the day you start dying. And whatever you do today will definitely dictate tomorrow. So stay blessed, geared for success. Because to me, it ain't no such thing as luck. It's where opportunity meets preparation. It ain't nothing going to work unless you do. So if you're going through hell, simply keep going. Stop trying to swerve off the freeway, trying to follow cars that you can't keep up with. Everybody can't be the Grandmaster Virgil. Stay in your own lane. Treat people like you want them to treat your mama. And excuses are the tools of incompetence. So figure out who you are, be the best that you can be, and you will thrive in this crazy place that we call Earth and this life that we live on Earth. With that being said, Virgil, anything that you forgot that you want to get off your chest, any situations, events you want to speak on, we got a few minutes and we're going to call it a night.
Well, not too much. I hope I was able to put some input and somebody may have got some out of the conversation. Life is not that hard. It's all what you make it, you know. If I went through this whole struggle from the shoulders of the game, y'all could go through it being legit and doing the same.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
And I miss everybody.
Indeed.
Many are calling on their fewer chosen. I just have to be the chosen few.
Indeed. Man, I truly, from the bottom of my heart, man, want to thank you for coming on and lighting us with your life. I know you don't do a lot of sit-downs. I'm completely honored once again. Big thanks to Mr. Lee McCormick for making this happen. You can reach him at capitalboxart.com. Backsplash Lee McCormick. Picasso, he's in the building, man. So if you need a mural painted on your establishment, on your garage door, in your man cave, you know, man, holler at him and he'll come lace you up. That being said, man, we're going to call it a night, man. Thank you again, Virgil. If you need something, man, I'm only a phone call away. You got my math. Stay close, my brother, and God bless you and yours.
Right on. Do the same.
Likewise, sir.
All right.
Ladies
all
and gentlemen.
Love.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Tonight's episode,
bye-bye,
once again, brought to you by Stacey Adams Incorporated, MagnificentWax.com, and the G. Lou Show.
All right.
So make sure that you tune in next Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. And you can get your groove on, man. This is what we do, Spectacular Lowrider Oldies at their finest. Mr. Lou Lavish, are you still there or are you in the cut?
Yes,
if you're
sir,
still
I'm
there,
here.
You have any parting words you'd like to add to tonight's episode?
Great, great episode. Like I said, man, I was just in the cut just listening, man, and, man, enjoying the game, man. The man is so seasoned, man, and it's just like he was like a game guy, you know what I mean, just dropping knowledge and jewels, man. So I just soaked it up. Great episode. Honored to have him on, and thank him again for coming on. And all I got to say is, you know, until we see you next time, which will be next Thursday, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. That's all I'm going to say. G. Lou Lavish, I'm out.
Indeed. 93.3 FM.
You gonna do besides piss? You ain't the working kind of nigga. You need to keep it pimping.
Well, when I come up into life, people that were dealing with hoes dealt with drugs too. They all was surrounded by one little circle. It's all in the game.
Tell me what you know about this pimping. It's more than the clothes if I walk with a limp in.
The Bird started me with this shit. This game shit. He stayed on Bird. I stayed on Calvin, one street behind. Little boys, you know, he coming through in Cadillac, popping in, pimping, you know, and that was exciting for us, but it was not only exciting, but you could eat from it.
You send a woman to work, she might not even break luck that night. All your money is getting ready to be limited. But when you handling something that a person got to have, they gonna think of any means necessary to go get that money, and they gonna spend that money on what they need.
He did a lot of great things, but when I saw that, it's like the house was bought for the gang, and he didn't even stay there. When he went through the town, he was there. But when he was gone, he left the key under the floor mat, and he was welcome. More than welcome.
And the bird is a gentleman. The bird is a scholar. You know, and all the young people that need to stop, you know, hating and do some congratulating. Don't be a hater, be a congratulator, because Versa is a bad motherfucker, okay?
I like to pin my moves, spread the wealth throughout my family, cause that's what bosses do. I let loose, here's the scoop, I'm 100 proof, so a pain I ain't hearing, to be bullshit proof, what you call 7?
Anybody that they will stop Monday Night Football to announce that he got arrested, anybody they do that for, count me in, Jack. When they do the movie, I'm there, brother. We look just the same. If I had the jewelry on that you did, boom, we twins.
This is the real deal. I'm letting y'all know, this man fed a lot of people. Lot of people. Give everybody a chance. I ain't got nothing bad to say about Virgil. When I was down, the motherfucker, when I was coming up in the record business, the motherfucker slid me a couple of dollars to keep me rolling. This is why Kevin Black got a lot of this artillery up here. Ain't been a rapper I ain't touched. I used to walk in Virgil's house. I'm a young shorty. He used to have sacks of money. I'm talking about sacks. I'm talking about real sacks of money, rubber band up, every fucking thing. So I used to walk in, young nigga, you know, just saying, you know, what's up, Virgil? How you doing? I said, you know, can you give your little nephew a little something? You know, he used to tell me, don't go in there and get what you want. Go in there and get what you need. You see sacks stat up. You don't know what the fuck to take. Don't go in there and get what you want. Get what you need.
You can't make a person go put a needle in their arm. They do that by choice. They don't do that by force. But they want to blame it on the man that got it.
For you niggas to come through this motherfucker and sit here and say the shit that you've been saying, and I'm gonna call one nigga out in particular. And nigga, you know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about, nigga. All of a sudden now, nigga, you on his side? Fuck that. You challenge his pimping, nigga. Nigga, you ain't never been in a position to say about what this nigga is at. You know, you ain't never been on this nigga's level. You know who I'm talking about.
I pimped on because that's my obligation. That's my job to pimp. So that's what I done. Any hoe I ever had in my life, I stomped down, pimped hard on. And I didn't give no hell. 7 days a week is the only thing I understood. I didn't make no deals with any hoe I ever had in my life. And I got paid from everyone that I had. If I didn't get paid, I'm bearing down. That's just how it was. When I say I didn't make no deal, I didn't compromise with no hoe about her money, her going to work, or whatever she might have done. I ain't compromised. She can't come to me with nothing. My way or no way. Mother gotta watch what one of them fucking bitches say, because they come in with bad intentions. If they find any weakness in a man, they gonna drive on that. They gonna make a man say certain things, you understand? They gonna just shoot something at a guy just to see what he gonna do. And if he follow her lead, the bitch gonna drive on it. That's just how it is. Stop believing everything.
Orale, homes. A little crusty from Eastside bought those Locos homes. I remember him back in the days when he used to come through. I remember the OE homes. Don't think I forgot. Say, just giving a big shout out. Y'all not knowing, you better give him his props, eh? Gleek, 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 Cadillac.
What you know about rap, yo? Take a whole lot mode in the gang, go. Lot mode in the Range Rover. Whole lot mode in the Red Hoe. I serve y'all both, so. Hell away, most straight from the get-go. Let's talk about flow, though. In front of me, you run like Flojo. What you really wanna rap for? Really though, all y'all so-so. Break it down like a low-low. Ready to see it, flow to the momo. Yo, 40, I'm gon' crash. With a hit for that ass and a dash. Ain't a blade, a pimp can't match. Every beat that I'm on gets smashed.
Cadillac, 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 Cadillac,
time, man. Already. Down here in New York, man, trying to teach these niggas how to, you know what I mean, the real cheap, man. You're not understanding me, man. I need to fly down and take the first flight out. I meet you at JFK, man. Break some of the big